This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
Right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Yes, it is. Annie's voice is lower today. Why, Annie, what a deep voice you have.
Wow.
Hey, it's Tim Jones back in for Annie Fry, as I promised all y'all on Friday and last night on my show. Great to be here. Annie will be back tomorrow. She took a little extended Easter weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Easter Monday and happy no collusion, no obstruction Easter Monday.
Hey.
That's how Mark Cox and I greet each other. We don't just say hello anymore. We say happy no collusion, no obstruction, fill in the blank day.
Yes.
Because that's what it is. And we are going to talk about the absolute utter meltdown that we witnessed among the mainstream liberal media this weekend on all the talk shows, and the fact that there's so many things they're all verklempt about, Jewish phrase I picked up in New York, that they can't believe Donald Trump's president, and they can't believe that Mueller didn't get him. So happy Easter Monday, Katie.
Hey, you too.
And Tony. Tony's in studio as
back
well.
Back at you.
Did you guys all have a wonderful, beautiful weekend?
Beautiful weather. That was awesome. I was outside probably 10 hours of the day, both Saturday and Sunday, and my allergies are insane right now.
And you're glad to be inside the air conditioning now. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So. Yeah, it was a busy weekend. A lot of family stuff, kids stuff, but we've had so many cold, rainy, crappy Easters, it feels like. That this one was just incredible.
I think everybody was singing glory, glory, hallelujah this weekend because of that, because this was the second winter in a row that it just wouldn't let go. I mean, just a few days ago, we were in the 30s at night, and there was frost on the rooftops, and it was cold and nasty and raw and rainy. I think last Thursday.
I think you're right.
was pretty darn horrible, it was a great, great, beautiful weekend. Hope you had a great Easter. If you celebrated Passover, which began on Friday evening and went all day Saturday, ended Saturday evening, happy Passover. So we're going to, in light of that, and that the fact that this is Easter Monday, we're in the Easter week now, we're gonna definitely bring you up to speed on everything from the weekend. And like I said, the absolute media meltdown. We got Congressman Blaine Lucemeyer in at 12:25 to talk about all of that stuff. Chief economist at Heritage, a fellow that I actually know extremely well, Stephen Moore, the brilliant and the mad scientist economist that Stephen Moore is. He's a great guy. He's very funny, and he brings humor to economics, which is a little difficult sometimes, but he makes it real for all of us because it affects our lives. But we're also going to do a couple lighter things today. A lot of the kids are off today. People are a little relaxed today. Some people didn't have to work today. People are doing fun things for Earth Day. I think Katie was cleaning up a park this morning.
I was. I sure was.
Which park did you hit?
I guess it's Memorial Plaza, I want to say. So
right behind us.
Yes, right behind us. And it was I was out there for about an hour, and it was another beautiful day, and to help the earth, pick up some trash.
Pick up some trash. Mm-hmm. Some trash. I've never been where does all this trash come from? Because I'm not somebody who's ever thrown something out my car window or on the side. I mean,
I don't understand.
I wonder sometimes where all this massive. Do people not understand what a trash can is in 2019.
I found a wooden spoon out there. A giant wooden spoon and then a sock.
Was it from George Washington's day?
I'm like, yeah. What is this doing out here?
How do you lose your socks?
I don't know. It was one sock. It wasn't a pair. I'm like, okay, great.
It's amazing. So yeah, so we're doing that. So in light of that, I've got a couple of special guests coming in today. My very good friend, a very good friend of mine and neighbor out in the hinterlands where I live of Eureka, Pete Benoit. And he, there's a funny story behind why he's doing this, but he's in the running for a annual contest they do here in the St. Louis area. They probably do it across the country. The St. Louis Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does a Man and Woman of the Year. And so people volunteer for this or get nominated for this. And then it's a competition to see who can raise as much money over a period of time, ending in a big gala in May, which we're about to hit, believe it or not. And so, Pete, we're going to probably, I wonder if his wife, Jill, may be coming in with him. We'll get the real story from Jill as to how he got. Mm-hmm. It may have been at another event where there was an open bar. So maybe that's how he volunteered for this. But no, I will also say Pete is a he's a very understated guy, very soft, very kind of a soft-spoken guy, but he has a huge heart. And for a number of years, Katie, this is the fella I used to talk to you all about back in the day on the morning show that is like 2 degrees from Justin Timberlake.
Oh my gosh, no way.
Because Pete does, he used to do, before he had second and third child, he used to do a golf tournament every year, a granting wishes tournament for Make-A-Wish Foundation, and he would always bring in these cases of tequila, 901 tequila, which is Justin Timberlake's tequila, 901 tequila. And I'd be like, how do you get all this stuff? He goes, well, Pete's very good friend basically runs the company or does something very high up with the, either owns or runs or does something very high up with the company. And of course, he knows JT.
Gosh.
And so we always said, when are you going to get him to come to the golf tournament? Well, then they stopped having the golf tournament because they had like their third child. And that, so they stopped doing that. So Pete was, I think, feeling a yearning, kind of like, I used to do this great golf tournament and raised a lot of money for Make-A-Wish and did a ton of wishes for kids, for, you know, terminally ill kids, kids who have really struggled, which is really a wonderful thing that Pete and his family, his wife Jill, and they all did. So I think he was having a calling to like do something again.
Yeah, do something
and
more.
And so here we go. St. Louis Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. He's in the running for Man of the Year. I think they do Man of the Year and Woman of the Year. And they have a big contest. Whoever raises the most money then, quote, wins. But they're all winners because they're all raising money.
Sure,
and it's
yeah.
all going to go to the society. And they have a big gala in May that I'm going to go to.
Nice.
And so we're going to ask Pete, what the heck, you know, how do you get into this? How's it going? How can we help?
How's Justin Timberlake?
How's JT? When's JT coming into town?
Can we make that happen?
And then in the 2 o'clock, so Pete will be here at 1:25 in studio. And then the plan is to have Father Leo Spezia. And I think he's bringing Police Chief Mike Wiegand with him. We're going to talk about, you know, Easter and this, and we'll talk about Passover because Father Leo does, he's a great theologian as well as one of my parish priests. And he also does a lot of work with another favorite charity of mine, Backstoppers, and does a lot of work as a chaplain for, I believe, the St. Louis County Police Department. So got lots to talk about today. So, Tony, what's on your mind today? Anything in particular?
You know,
what do you think about all the collusion delusion coverage over the weekend?
Oh, I watched all of it.
They can't stand it, can they?
I watched all of it. I watched Adam Schiff on Fox News Sunday.
Don't you want to wring his neck?
Which it's just unbelievable. I don't know. Did you see? They had Rudy Giuliani,
yes,
back to back.
I saw it
with Adam Schiff.
I saw it,
and just
two different universes, right?
Two different universes.
Position, yeah.
I thought Rudy actually did well. You know, Rudy can sometimes get a bad rap, sometimes very deservedly so, for getting a little off the rails.
Right.
Being a little goofy. But I thought he did a really good job of pointing out the president's point, taking on the issues that the Democrats have pointed out in the Mueller report. It was interesting because, you know, he wanted to give these big, long answers. And Chris Wallace kept cutting him off and saying, look, I only have a minute and I want to get another question in. And Rudy was like, well, you asked a question and the answer is more than a minute long.
Right.
I need more than a minute to sufficiently answer these questions that you're asking.
Wallace, like a lot of the other anchors over the weekend, wanted to dig deep into, volume 2. the fantasy fairy tale known as the 200-page op-ed that Mueller wrote about obstruction. Mueller basically wrote this. Folks, I encourage you to read it. It's kind of a wandering, it's an editorial about obstruction because it's a theory, right? And he decided not to do anything with that theory. Mm-hmm. He completely punted. Well, guess what? That means by punting, that means that Donald Trump has and never will have any legal consequences for collusion, which is actually criminal conspiracy with the Russians, or obstruction. There will be none. There will be zero, zilch, nada. And I think that's what the media and the left, it's just now sinking in that the investigation is over. There will be no more indictments for it. So Rudy, to Tony's point, kept diverting away from that, as he should, to saying, well, it doesn't matter. You guys can sit here and you can pick this carcass apart like vultures and talk about, well, what about this and what about this fact and what about that fact and what about this allegation? And Rudy's like, it doesn't, none of it matters because it's now a political question. It's a political football. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to Ken Starr on the way down on Brian Kilmeade's show. And Ken Starr was at, the woman was in for Kilmeade today. Her name's Mary.
Mary Hart.
I think he has two that fill in for him, right? Yeah. She asked a very good question. She said, Mr. Starr, Judge Starr, what about, what, compare this to the aftermath of your report in the Clinton years and the ensuing impeachment with the aftermath of the Mueller report and the potential ensuing impeachment. Compare those two. And he basically had a very brief answer. He said,
Mary Walter.
This one is so much less. She said, well, why is that? He goes, because there's no actionable crime to act upon. They came back with a not even a not guilty, an exoneration of the collusion narrative. Mm-hmm. And they basically came up with a, we don't know. On the second one, in the Clinton case, they said you committed a crime of perjury. That's why Rudy Giuliani is forever brilliant for not permitting them to put Trump under oath.
Mm-hmm.
And Levin last night on Life
Liberty pointed that out in that interview with Chris Wallace. He said, well, we didn't send him up there because at one point he said something like, we gave them everything they wanted. And Chris Wallace, of course, was like, whoa, you didn't give them everything they wanted. They wanted to interview the president and you wouldn't put the president in front of him. And he said, look, we still answer the questions in written form. I'm not going to go and put my client in front of a prosecutor that I know is just going to set a perjury trap for him like they did to Flynn when they said, come on in. We just want to chat for a second. You don't need a lawyer. Mm-hmm. This is no big deal. We don't, you know, we're just asking
for
a couple quick questions.
For nothing related to collusion.
Yeah. You don't need a lawyer. We're not, this is nothing. We're all friends here. Don't worry about it. And then ruined his life.
And the two narratives I've heard, to beat this dead horse deader, the two narratives I've heard on the obstruction thing are that number one, and these are legal theories that you can dispute if you want, but they're good legal theories, that number one, you can't have an obstruction charge when the underlying allegations prove to be not just not guilty, but no evidence of, like nothing, complete exoneration. So that's one. You can't have obstruction without collusion or another underlying crime. And if you don't like that one, then the second legal theory is you can't have obstruction on something that the president was perfectly in his rights to do, that all the actions are justifiable under the Article 1 powers of the executive. You may not like the reasons he wanted to do them, many of which he never carried out, and his people never carried out, mm-hmm. so they weren't really act. Just because the president is musing one, we know how Trump is, just because he's musing one day and he says, oh, I wish I could, or we should possibly do, or it's not, there's no actus reus there. I keep saying this over and over again because there's nothing to action on. So those are the two legal theories. Ultimately, they're stuck with this. And so now they're all trying to decide, what should we do next? We'll talk to Congressman Blaine Lucemeyer about that. What does he see coming down the pike? Will they move forward? And will they continue the political back and forth, which is all it's going to be? Will that hurt the Democrats or will help them in the long run? Hard to tell. Hard to really tell, but I've got my feelings on it, and I'm sure Congressman Blaine Luchtemeyer does as well. Tim Jones in for Annie Fry. It's the Annie Fry Show. Congressman Blaine Luchtemeyer up right after these quick words on FM News Talk 97.1.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the mound, Brian has a 6-0 record, 55 strikeouts in 38 innings.
There's Tyler. He just finished racing his second.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
You have no idea. I have no idea. That's why we have a court of law. That's why prosecutors, damn it, are not supposed to write essays like this. Now we have a special counsel. And the Democrats knew a special counsel could write a report. They're not focused on volume one, which is legal, which does cite law, which was an investigation that found no collusion. That was the purpose of the investigation. Obstruction was not the purpose of the investigation, and he didn't have an obstruction case against the President of the United States, or he would have brought it. I'm using plain English so even Joe Scarborough and Jake Tapper can understand this. Volume 2 is crap. Volume 2 was written for slip-and-fall lawyer Nadler, slip-and-fall lawyer Schiff. That's why he wrote it. He knew the media would run with it.
Full Metal, Mark Levin. That was last night's Life, Liberty, and Levin show on the Big Fox. And I caught that after my show as I was heading home. And he did an entire hour. Usually he has a guest on, and it's a long-form interview, and he's pretty calm throughout the whole thing, but that was more like his radio show last night. It was just Mark Levin and us, you know, and the audience. Mm-hmm. And he dissected, bisected, and trisected the Mueller report. And he had copies of it, Katie. He had these two big copies. He had volume one, which is the collusion hoax, the narrative, the collusion case. And then volume two was the obstruction of justice charge. And he had it all. He had it all flagged and highlighted and,
yep,
and post-it notes everywhere. And so, you know, he read the thing. Mm. And he's so right about the fact that when it's all said and done, if Robert Mueller had evidence of either of those charges, he would have brought a case. That's absolutely a fact. The guy had 2 years, an unlimited budget, unlimited power, unlimited investigatory reach, millions of documents, and it's a big fat goose egg. And that's why the media is now trying to resurrect on Easter weekend something out of the ashes of the Mueller report.
Yeah. And the fact that he got what he got is only because he knew, you know, the old saying, you could indict a ham sandwich. And I mean,
which is true and remarkable that nothing happened here.
Exactly. 2 years. The unfettered resources that you just mentioned and came back with basically nothing. He had to have something. Otherwise, that's what people need to understand. If a prosecutor takes 2 years, they can't just come back and say nothing, because then everybody's going to say, well, you failed.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that's justice, it's okay to come back and say there's nothing, because there was nothing, and that's what investigations are supposed to be. But that's not reality. Reality is, if he doesn't come back and do something, they're going to say he failed.
That's
so
right.
He had to do something.
That's right. Let's bring in our next guest to talk about this, and we'll try to get to lots more as well. He is Congressman Blaine Luchtemeyer, at Rep. Blaine on Twitter. Blaine, great to speak with you last night on my show, and thanks for coming back today to talk to Annie's audience as well.
No, glad to do it. Always a pleasure to be with you, Kim. Some interesting times, no doubt.
Yeah, yes, sir. So Congressman Luchtemeyer, first of all, your initial reaction to what came out, what was dumped on the American public after two long years of an investigation, a 400-page report. What do you take away from all this? What do you think Americans should take away from this at this point?
Well, I think, as I told you last night, there's a new Monmouth poll out that, 54% of Americans and 57% of independents want to move on. They've had enough of this. They realize the report is a slam dunk. It exonerates the president. I use the word exonerate intentionally here because the other side doesn't want to use that on the obstruction thing. But by the same token, you just indicated with your monologue into this part of the show here, you were talking about the fact Mueller didn't have any evidence to show that there should have been a crime recommended to the prosecutor to prosecute for. The AG should have received recommendation from the report saying we need to follow up and prosecute on this, and he did not do that. So therefore, in my mind, there is no crime because he didn't do this. And Mueller then you go to Barr, and he didn't follow up and say, after looking at it, there's nothing in there for us to follow up on either. So he is exonerated on both counts, as far as I'm concerned. And these guys going around talking about, they've got evidence of this and evidence of that. Well, I have one comment back to them. If you have evidence, where was it during the investigation? And if you did have it, you should have presented it. And if you haven't done that, that means you're obstructing justice. And if you don't have it, then you've been lying. Which one is it? And so I know you made a point a minute ago about Mueller trying to continue to find something. And I think he spent probably the last, I don't know how much time, but I mean, I'm a good portion of it, I think, going after people who would lie to Congress, lie to the FBI, and prosecuting those guys, and as well as the Russians that were actually caught doing some stuff. But other than that, I think that the Democrats are going to try and do a little bluster and fluster here to try and wait until they can latch on to their next issue, which I think will probably be, the Trump's tax returns or his financial dealings. He's cleaning their clock on all the issues out there except health care, which he's trying to help put together a new program now as well. So there's not really anything for him to go after unless you go after him personally. And they're trying to ding him, death by a thousand cuts. Mm-hmm. That's how they can hope to go after the president in this 2020 election. And all of this now is a dinging process, just trying to ding him a little bit here and a little bit there to try and continue to confuse the electorate. But they're not having anything of it. The latest polling shows the president continues to increase in popularity. The people are tired of this Mueller investigation stuff. They're ready to move on. They want to focus on things of the economy, the border problems, health care, all the other issues that are out there.
Yeah, Blaine, I've just pulled up the specifics of the poll you just mentioned, and it is a Monmouth University poll, which in my experience, if anything, at the very best, it's center of the road. It generally, Monmouth tends to lean a slightly left. So the fact that this poll says move on, 54% of Americans move on, less than 40% of Americans, and I imagine that number will continue to drop because this poll was taken right after the report was released when it was still hot and heavy and people were really focused on it. Less than 40% of Americans want people to continue investigating this. So, Blaine, isn't this really, whether it's this report or whether it's, go back to all of the allegations that have been thrown at this president over the last 2 years, everything that's been dragged through the mud and then shot against him. It's all a foil, isn't it? I mean, we get it. The left and the media, they don't like Donald Trump. So all of these things are excuses to divert from the they don't like him because of the policies he's passing that you all have voted into law that he has signed. Isn't that a big part of the equation here?
Oh, absolutely. He's cleaning their clock on all the policy issues, and there's nothing left for them except to go after him on a personal basis. And, of course, that's always the operative memorandum of the left here, to go after an individual on a personal basis. If you can't do something on policy, you go after him, you attack him on a personal basis. And that's what they've been trying to do to the president, trying to delegitimize his presidency, to try and cloud the issue with him being able to govern. He's this, he's that. And at the end of the day, these are personal attacks. These aren't attacks on his policies because his policies are working. And you look at the economy. Now, the numbers on that are staggering. Even over 50% of the Democrats, one of the latest, and I think this is like a CNN or ABC Wall Street poll or something. I mean, it's got one of those other folks on the other end of this poll, and they were talking like even the New York Times this last week came out and said, hey, look, it's time to move on, folks. The president is cleaning our clock on the economy, and we've got to admit it. And let's move. So he's doing a great job. He's these trade deals, when he gets these things, this is going to be another boost for the stock market. Mm-hmm. And when he's trying to fix the border situation, and stop and think about this for 1 second, Tim. If why are all these people suddenly coming in droves in these caravans to the United States? It's because they know that once the wall is built, they can't get in.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get here. So they're trying to beat the wall before it's constructed. Either that and or they're being instigated by the far left, who is trying to get some folks to caravan up just to try and cause problems for the president, which is, I don't know if that's an urban legend or whether that's fact, but that's out there as well. But, I mean, to me, I think that shows the wall works when you have all these people all of a sudden trying to rush the border before the wall is built. They know this guy's going to build a wall. It's going to come, and they're trying to beat it here. Just like when in foreign policy, whenever he walks away from the table, the only thing it does is strengthen his hand, because suddenly the rest of the world sets up and takes notice that this guy is not like his predecessor that is willing to do anything to get a piece of paper signed and walk away and wave it in the air and say, look what I got. This guy wants something that's real. He wants something that's tangible. He wants something that's actually going to work. And so he's willing to walk away from a bad deal. And so because of that, it strengthens his hand when he goes in to negotiate. This guy knows how to negotiate. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to watch him operate. I get to see behind the scenes what's going on. This guy is a master at putting this together. He is running rings around the media in D.C. They have no idea who they're dealing with. You know, D.C., they deal in two-minute sound bites and two-day increments. And he deals in 30,000 feet long-term. And that's how he thinks. That's how he operates. And he's running rings around the media because they can't figure out what he's trying to do.
Yes.
It's as plain as the nose on your face if you understand business and how to negotiate and how you use leverage, because he's a master at it, he's winning.
He truly is. We're speaking to Congressman Blaine Lichtenberger. Blaine, you made a reference to, you know, the divisions in the Democratic Party about what to do next now that the Mueller investigation is over. And I think they first have to get that into their heads. And I think a lot of them are having real problems with that, because this is what they lived and breathed for 2 years, and they really felt that something a lot different was going to come out of this. But the investigation's over. There will be no indictments of the president, his family, or anybody on his campaign, or any American relating to the collusion hoax. So that's been put to bed. The door is open on obstruction, but not from Mueller. He's basically shirked his duties and I think kicked it to Congress. So, Blaine, you walk the halls with these people. You're in hearings with them. You're up and down the elevators with them. Is there a divide in the Democratic caucus in the House about what exactly to do now with this thing and whether to impeach or not?
Oh, there's a huge divide. You know, Nancy Pelosi, she watched the Republicans screw this up back in the 90s against Bill Clinton. They watched us screw it up against Barack Obama in the 2010s. And now she sees her party screwing themselves up by going after President Trump with impeachment. It does not play. Even the people in the middle do not want this. A lot of your hardcore folks, that they don't want the president impeached. It's just a bad, bad taste in their mouth. So it's dividing their party. You got the far, far left that's still making lots of noise. But even Pelosi and the number two person in the House, Hoyer, are saying, hey, tamp this down. We don't want to, we can't win on this issue. Even if we do impeach him in the House, or put it on the floor, it's not going to pass. So therefore, this is an exercise that's going to do nothing but hurt us politically. And so then what you'll see is what you're seeing now is going after him on his taxes, mm-hmm. and other things. And just as a point on his taxes, nobody probably understands, but if you want to actually see what my tax return looks or my investment portfolio looks like and what the president's investment portfolio likes, every elected official, cabinet official, has to fill out what they call a financial disclosure form. And on that form, it's a public form. You can go on the Federal Election Commission website right now and see mine if you want to. And you can see the president's. Mine is about 9 pages. His, I think, is over 100. But you can see on this financial disclosure form everything that you want to know with regards to how many corporations he's invested in, how much of an investment he has in it, what kind of income does he get in, is it rent, interest, dividends, salary, how much is he the managing partner of this business, and even tells how much income from each one of these. So all of that information is much more in-depth and much more intricate, and yet they're going after tax returns. Why? Because they don't have to do what I just did and explain to you there is another place to go with this information,
right.
And it's all out there and shows nothing. If it showed something, wouldn't you think they'd be going after this, Tim?
So, Blaine,
this financial disclosure form showed that he had some nefarious activities and some some dealings with some Russians or some Chinese or some Iranians or whoever, wouldn't you think they'd be going after that?
So you're telling me it's all a show.
But they're not doing that, so guess what?
Unbelievable.
They're not telling you the story about that financial disclosure form, which is it's public document.
Right.
You know, mine is disclosed every year because it posts as fast as a story on all of the congressional folks in their area here and puts it out there once a year and tells you what's in our financial disclosure form. But yet, the Democrats are going after the tax returns because people know that what a tax return is. They don't know about a financial disclosure form. But the reason I mention it is because there's nothing there. If there would have been something in the financial disclosure form, you don't think that would have been the first thing that's been out here harping on and talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. They absolutely would have. Absolutely would have. Hey, Blaine, I got one last question for you. Something else you brought up last night. The Democrats are so focused on investigation and retaliation and all this. You brought to my attention last night that they have basically failed to do anything that they're supposed to be doing under the Constitution, including the fact that they've decided not even to bother trying to pass a budget this year.
Yeah, you know, we have, I think, 16 enumerated things that we're supposed to do in the Constitution. One is to pass a budget, and it starts in the House. Well, the House budget chairman came down the other day and said, hey, we're too divided. We can't get together. We're not going to be able to pass a budget this year. And I said last night, it's for two reasons. One, they are divided. They can't get together on it. And number two, it gives you an idea of what their priorities are. They don't want you to know, going into an election cycle here, that they want to raise your taxes. They don't want you to know that they want to cut the military budget. They don't want you to know some of the other priorities that they have. So this is a way to get around that. And what they did, they offered to try and put a blanket figure out there for the top of the budget with no other budget numbers broken out anywhere else, just for top of the budget, and they couldn't even get along and put that out there and get it done because they pulled that off the floor the other day.
Mm.
So they're in disarray, and they're at each other's throats. And so the best thing we can do as Republicans and conservatives is just step back, let them keep imploding, and just keep handing them, rope. Let's let them hang themselves.
Absolutely,
it's happening.
Absolutely. Congressman Blaine Lueckmeyer, thank you so much. It was a great update. We'll definitely have you on and back again soon. And happy Easter week to you, and be safe traveling back and forth to D.C.
Thank you, Tim. Always a pleasure with you.
Great to have you as well. We'll talk to you again soon. That was Congressman Blaine Lueckmeyer at Rep. Blaine on Twitter with a full D.C. update there. So sounds like it's going to be more of nothing up on Capitol Hill. And you know what? I think the market will actually like that. And we'll talk about that and more when we come back. Tim Jones in for Annie Fry. We'll take your phone calls as well. Mary, Helen, hang on the line. Talk lines are open. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Take your calls up to the top of the hour break. And then the 1 o'clock hour at 107, we got the chief economist at Heritage, Stephen Moore, joining us here on The Annie Fry Show. Happy Easter Monday. It's FM News Talk 97.1.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Channeling my inner Mark Cox. Little Sammy Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
Little Eagles Fly. Yeah, a lot happened this weekend with Easter and the Passover and the fallout from the Mueller report. And, of course, Katie Fitzpatrick's and I's favorite show of all time, at least right now.
I feel like we could just give updates on this.
We're going to lose Tony for a minute.
No,
but,
you're good.
So,
oh, was there a new one on?
Yes.
Over the weekend?
Yes. Sunday
okay.
night.
Gotcha.
Sunday night, every Sunday night. Episode,
the weekend.
Episode 2 of season 8, the final mm-hmm. season of Game of Thrones.
And how many episodes will there be?
6 total.
Ooh, that's it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So there's only 4 left.
Aren't they supposed to get longer as we go into it?
So the next 2, I believe, are going to be an hour and a half. So episode 3 and episode 4 are both an hour and a half, I believe.
So God, the first
so
2,
excited.
You are, I can tell. The first 2 episodes, Katie, at this point, I'm like, enough of the setup.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No, I'm
last night
it.
Was another hour of mm-hmm. setting things up, although it was more interesting than the first one.
Yeah.
The first
this stuff just going to get buck wild.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because at the end, and I'm just going to give you spoiler alerts because by now you should have watched it.
Yeah.
Between,
sorry.
Between DVRs and TiVos right. and YouTubes and everything else.
Just say it. Spoiler alert.
And your Google machine. Yeah. You know, this is you should have seen this by now. But so anyway, spoiler alert. So it's a big long setup episode again, where we're bringing everybody together. A lot of these characters haven't seen each other in years, literally in years, and figuratively in years, in the narrative of the story. And at the very end, they're like the horn. It's in the middle of the night. They know the evil dead, the walking dead of Game of Thrones, the White Walkers are coming.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
The walking dead has invaded Game of Thrones?
Yes, they have. Pretty much, right, Katie? No. I mean, that's what they pretty much are.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Tony, these are the undead,
yeah.
The great undead of mythical lore, you know? Mm-hmm. And what's funny is, though, I guess it's funny. Ha ha. I guess the undead can be funny. So
you're dead, huh?
These are more advanced undead, some of them. So you have the rank and file undead, which are just like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're like,
blindly being
blind, like, flailing around. And then, so like, but they're commanders. Mm-hmm. The commanders are like living, undead living.
Yeah.
Thinking. They're thinking beings.
They're the nucleus. In control of everything and everyone,
but they're
and the
smart.
Mindless zombie, yes.
They're not mindless.
Listen to the thinking ones,
and you should see these guys. They are badass.
They
can I say that?
Yep.
I can say that, right?
Yep. Oh yeah.
I mean, they are like everything you would not want to see in a undead warrior. You know, and what's funny
they
is
don't move like slow.
No,
zombies.
They've actually got for being undead. They're actually pretty well outfitted. They've got big horse.
Really?
They've got big undead horses. They have fancy undead clothes, flowing hair, fancy weapons that glow in the dark, and they converted one of the dragons. They have a freaking undead dragon now.
Yes.
Dang.
That's bad news. So at the very end, it's in the middle of the night. They're all at Winterfell, which is the northernmost, like, main huge civilization, which is what the Stark family, you know, has been in for centuries.
Now, wait a minute. Now Tony Stark is in this thing, too?
Yes. Yes, he is.
So the Avengers, Walking Dead, and Game of Thrones are all combined
together
in this thing?
All coming together.
Now I've confused everyone. And so they're all there. And the horn blows, and they're like, and everyone's like, uh-oh, here they come. And so they're all getting up on the battlements.
And then
they show the little dwarf dude, Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
Can I say dwarf? Is that cool anymore?
I'm dumping everything.
Short person.
I'm dumping it.
Short person. Yeah, we're hitting the dump button.
I think you're good.
So Peter Dinklage, Tyrion Lannister, is at the battlement. He's looking out through the thing, through the opening in the battlements. And then they show the scene from the other side, and you see a horse hoof go, and you're like, ooh, that's a nasty looking horse hoof because it's an undead horse, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they pan up, and there they are. They are within sight of the castle walls.
So it's...
This is what we have been
building. There's no way they can't pay something off next week.
I would hope not, because they're like, they can see each other at this point.
Yeah, they can't.
They better have a battle.
They can't go another 90 minutes of not starting the fight.
There needs to be a battle, and the big reveal last night was something that we as the audience have kind of known about for a while, and it was there's some secret identities. So the bastard son Jon Snow, who was kind of just this lost figure who became, you know, he's become a great warrior, a great follower. Well, guess what? He's actually not a bastard son.
He's the king.
He is the king, and he is the nephew of Dragon Lady.
Yes, Daenerys.
How many
Daenerys Targaryen.
Know the king?
Like four.
Okay.
But
not for long.
Not for long. And she was told this at the very end of the episode, and she was visibly shaken.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, crap. Now you're a living male heir. Now what are we going to do?
And her only goal from the minute that you realize who she is has been to take over this Iron Throne. So to have to have Jon Snow come in and say, actually, I'm the true heir to this, and they also love one another, it's just going to get wild. If they both
Buck
survive,
wild.
Yes.
Buck
if,
wild.
If
are you starting?
Survive,
are you starting not to? I'm starting not to like Daenerys Targaryen. I think she's a little bit. She's a little too high on her horse, so to speak.
Yes.
Dragon Lady.
There's a lot of critics out there that
she's getting a little
writing
too.
That she's a little bit arrogant.
She's gonna turn.
I don't know. We'll see.
There's some creepy stuff.
Which side is she on? Is she on the zombie side or the?
No,
other
she's
side?
On all the good side right now.
Okay.
There's like 12 sides because
are they all together against the zombies?
Except for the evil Cersei Lannister. So
he's with the zombies.
She. She's not with anybody.
Herself.
She's with herself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
She wants to have everybody kill each other, and she's the last woman standing.
Okay.
So it's exciting. And then...
it's nuts.
Jaime Lannister, of course. I'm starting to like him better.
I think he's great. Oh, yeah. He's definitely won me over. So,
well, which side is the Incredible Hulk on?
He's later.
To be continued.
So I screwed up getting to Mary Helen. Mary Helen, I'm so sorry. If you can hold on, I'll take you at the...
The passion took over.
I will take you right after this. And we're done with our Game of Thrones recap. Katie and I have completely now dorked out. Tim Jones in for Annie Fry. We're back with Stephen Moore from Heritage when we come back. And Mary Helen's phone call and yours as well at FM News Talk 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.